this chart, ladies and gentlemen, I drew up this illustration to give you the spectrum of the kinds of proof or the level of proof that's required. We start from a level of proof where we don't really know what happened, or we just don't have a clue what happened in the case, and we work all the way up to actual certainty. As Mr. Parrish properly pointed out, there are very few things that anyone is certain of. And certainly, there's no requirement in this case that the state prove with their evidence to a certainty that Mr. Met is guilty of any of the crimes that have been charged. But just below the certainty is the level of proof that the state does have to meet in this case before you can reach a guilty verdict. And that guilty verdict would, of course, need to be unanimous amongst all of you. I want to start from this side of the spectrum and work upwards so that you can get a clear sense of the kinds of mounting evidence that are required before a guilty verdict can be returned. Evidence that gives probable cause in our system is the kind of evidence that, for example, law enforcement would need to say, I need to arrest that person or I need to search that person's home because I have some reasonable objective fact that I can articulate, particularly in a warrant context, that I can articulate to a judge to get a warrant. I have something that's objective more than a suspicion or a gut reaction or a hunch that the individual that I want to apprehend or search is responsible for certain criminal conduct. And of course, in our particular case, Sarnamu's body in the basement of the apartment where Mr. Met lived before the roommate's statements that they were at work for the vast majority of the day, Mr. Met leaving the apartment, going to his aunt's house. These are the kinds of things that law enforcement will look at and say, okay, we have sufficient probable cause. We need to go find this guy. We need to examine him. We need to look at his clothes. We need to look at him to see if he was involved in the case. And that's why, legitimately, Mr. Met was arrested in this case. But the next highest level of evidence, ladies and gentlemen, is the preponderance of the evidence standard. And what that means is the evidence is more likely than not to show what a particular person bringing a case into court thinks it shows. So the typical example is we have an automobile accident. A driver blows through a red light and hits your car. It causes significant damage to the car. It causes physical damage to you. You bring a suit into court claiming that that individual's negligence caused your injury. In order to win this suit, you have to show by a preponderance of the evidence that it's more likely than not that the person driving through that red light caused your injury and your damage. It's the defense's position in this case, as we will analyze the evidence item by item in a moment, that this is where the level of evidence exists in this case with regard to Mr. Met, that there might be a fair argument Mr. Met, more likely than not, is involved in the death of Sarnamu, given the circumstances, given where she was found. But if that's what we conclude, that it's more likely than not that Mr. Met was involved, as opposed to anyone else, whether it be a roommate that may have had a time frame opportunity or someone else that may have had access to that apartment. If all we can say at the end of the day is in this balancing, it's more likely than not that Mr. Met did this, we're not close to the standard that's required for finding guilt in the case. The next higher level of evidence in our system of American and Utah jurisprudence is the clear and convincing evidence standard. In that situation, you have to have highly probable evidence, substantial and highly probable evidence that an event occurred before you can prevail in a claim against someone else. This standard comes into play all the time in domestic settings where a couple has separated. The child of the couple is living with one parent rather than the other. And the parent that's not the custodial parent sees something wrong, sees something that's not right in the home or the parent's eyes, and brings a claim into court wanting a change in the custody of the child. Or a judge who looks always at the best interests of the child will change that custody status. The person bringing the petition has to show, by clear and convincing evidence, a very substantial, highly probable basis that there's something going wrong with the custodial parents, care of the child, and therefore the child should be moved. Our position, ladies and gentlemen, is that the evidence against Mr. Met doesn't rise to the clear and convincing substantial evidence standard that fits within the preponderance of the evidence balancing. But if you felt that there was substantial and high probability evidence that Mr. Met was involved with the death and assault of Sernamu, again, even that level of evidence falls below the standard that's required of beyond reasonable doubt proof. Now, with regard to beyond a reasonable doubt, ladies and gentlemen, after you deliberate on the evidence, having reviewed all of the evidence, item by item, piece by piece, after you've consulted with one another and your collective judgment, your collective wisdom, insights, logic, and inferences, if you conclude that there is a legitimate reason to doubt, a legitimate reason to doubt that Mr. Met was involved in this crime, then you have to return a not guilty verdict. Another way to state that, ladies and gentlemen, is if there is no logical alternative or explanation to the evidence that you've seen, then you can unanimously agree on a guilty verdict. But if there is a logical alternative, if there is a logical way to look at the different pieces of this evidence and put that evidence together in that manner, then you cannot convict Mr. Met. You have to return a not guilty verdict.